A Senate panel this week heard arguments about amending the U.S. Constitution to include this statement: marriage in the United States shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman. The proposed amendment is the latest sally in the public debate over gay marriage. The issue took on new urgency in November when the Massachusetts Supreme Court said that prohibiting gay couples from marrying was against state law. But Nancy Polakoff, a professor of law at American University in Washington, D.C., believes that marriage itself may be the problem, legally speaking. She says the current conventional idea of marriage prohibits many people, not just gays, from a whole set of rights and privileges. Professor Polakoff joins us here in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And what do you see as the shortcomings of the legal definition of marriage as we understand it in most states today?
Well, it gives special rights to a particular kind of relationship, a sexually based conjugal relationship between, at the moment, a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. But even if you add two men and two women, that still leaves out a whole lot of family relationships that fulfill important social goals.
Look, can you give us some, for instances?
Well, if you have two sisters who live together and form an economically and emotionally interdependent unit, they are excluded. If you have a grandson and a grandmother living together in that way, or you have friends who are living together, or even not living together.
They're locked off from what?
Well, they are not automatically given the right to visit each other in the hospital if one of them is sick. Mm-hmm. They're not able to recover for wrongful death of the other, no matter what the level of economic or emotional intertwinedness is. If you reach Social Security age and then your spouse does, your spouse is entitled to certain benefits as a result of your income all of those years. Why is it that married couples get those benefits and nobody else does? It can't be dependency, because not every spouse is dependent upon another spouse. It's some recognition of what it means to have lived together in a unit for all of those years. Other people who share those characteristics should get those benefits, or we should say, your Social Security benefits can go to someone who's been dependent on you. Mm-hmm. And then some married couples would get them and some married couples wouldn't.
You understand there are many people that believe that the marital relationship is the building block of society, in that it provides for passing society from one generation to the next and implies a family circle that builds out from there.
Right, but people raise children, if that's what you're talking about, in all sorts of family units. In fact, the state should be in the business of supporting everybody who's raising children, not just married couples, gay or straight.
We could come up with some examples at length, but let me try a few on.
Okay.
Three what we used to call spinster lady sisters, mm-hmm, living together long term. If you were designing the system, would they be able to qualify for interdependent benefits, or whatever the phrase would be?
They would be able to qualify for some things. In a world of scarcity of benefits, there may be some that you could say would only go to one person. But if you're married to a woman for 10 years, she's entitled to get some Social Security benefits, even if you've been divorced. So actually, a man who's married three women and been married to each of them for more than 10 years, mm-hmm, the state would confer upon each of those women the benefits of his Social Security. But if you have lived in an economically intertwined unit with your sister or with your unmarried partner, male or female, for 40 years, you cannot confer those benefits. That's wrong.
Would you redefine marriage or try and find other ways in which to codify these relationships or the rights that are implied and important?
I would eliminate the word marriage, and I would allow people to register relationships for certain purposes so that there would be a default relationship if you didn't identify somebody else as the person who could make decisions for you in the hospital. Then there would be a default person you had named as that person.
I'm sure this is the least of the reactions, but I cannot imagine getting on bended knee and holding out a ring and saying to my wife, I want you to be my default relationship.
Well, you can call your relationship with her anything you want. You can call it a marriage. My quarrel is not with commitment, and it's not with religion. It's with the state saying that one type of relationship gets all the benefits and obligations that society wishes to confer on it, and no other type of relationship is able to do that. The statement to unmarried people that they live inferior lives, that the kind of families they have, that what matters to them in their life is not as valuable as those people who are married, is a bad social statement.
Nancy Polakoff, law professor at American University in Washington, D.C., thank you very much.
You're welcome.